You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members and listeners to 3CR. This is Fire Up MUA. My name is David Boyle. I'm from the Victorian branch of the MUA, and I'm here with my usual co-host, Aaron Darkside of the Moon.
Oh, good to see you change it up, David. How are you today, mate?
Very good. And, of course, Robert, the Ghost Lumsden. How are you, Rob?
Very good. Thanks, David. Morning to all members. How are we? Everyone's
You sound good. Like you're a far way, mate. Where are you?
In the room next door to you. I'm actually in I'm in Fremantle. There's a CUBE conference taking place at the moment with delegates and officials from every site of CUBE from around the country. Their EA is coming up next year, and we're getting a bit of a head start on how we're going to be tackling that and listening to all the different it's funny how you have the complaints from different sites are generally the same. You know what I mean, around, you know, allocation and the abortion, the abuse of the allocation, and you know, which causes fatigue and all that sort of stuff. And so, it's very interesting.
We're going to get a more comprehensive report from you a bit later in the program, Rob. Annie, I saw you at May Day in Melbourne. Yes. That was great to see you, and it was a pretty good event.
Yeah, it was a pretty good event. There was a good speech by Jerry Ayres from CFMEU about silicosis and naming a date for when they are calling for the removal, the banning of silicosis in 2024. So that's an ambitious campaign. It's an important campaign.
That certainly is. The safety of the membership is number one priority. We're celebrating 25 years of the Patrick's dispute, the 1998 Patrick's dispute this week. I think May 7th may have been the actual day when the members were let back into that site. And it's obviously a great historical struggle that the entire union movement got involved. Where were you in 1998, Aaron?
I was in Newcastle and also primary school.
He was there, mate, doing his best to get his pen licence. Never got it, you know.
No, because we turned to computers, mate, in the modern age. It's only old folks like yourself that are stuck using a scribe or a chisel and slate.
But seriously, the Patrick's dispute was a massive dispute for union members right across Australia at a time when we had an evil Liberal government, John Howard in power, and he was trying to break down the industrial relations system, or actually trying to change the industrial relations system. And to do that, he was going to use the MUA as his vehicle and his access to all the unions. And by breaking the MUA, I guess he figured that he would have the opportunity to break all the other unions. But through massive solidarity through the entire union movement, we managed to win that struggle.
So I guess we should give a little bit of background for some of our newer members. But the Patrick's dispute, as Dave said, was an attack by the Liberal government and Patrick's at the time, where they sacked the entire union workforce on Easter. Led to, they had the, there's some famous posters of a goon in a pin humpy that you see around, where they brought men in balaclavas with dogs to drag people out of their cranes and sack them there. Following that, the union movement rallied behind us, like Paulie said, and eventually we won the right to go back in, and it led to, I guess, a landmark ruling, which provided the right to unionise in this country as well, or reaffirmed the right to unionise in this country. So it's one of the great modern industrial disputes, albeit 25 years ago now, and a good win for unions to cement our place in society. So it's a pretty important time and a pretty important part of history that our union's been involved on.
And Robbie, you worked at Patrick's for the last 20 years, mate. What's it like sort of being in that, you know, historically famous site?
It's interesting because, there are still a lot of people still work there who went through that dispute. And I think if you recall last year, we had quite a number of members who retired and came to the union rooms and received life memberships, and Paddy came down and Paddy became quite emotional going through that again with those, because it was a journey that, unless you went through it, you can read about it and talk about it, but you don't know unless you actually live through it. And it was quite moving, and to have all those ex-members who had retired receive life memberships from Paddy and discuss that dispute again, it you could feel them reliving it. It was extraordinary. But things have changed and moved on since then. The only thing that doesn't change, though, is, the companies still want to come after us. They still want to, we make them all of our members make them all the money. Yet it's still not enough. They still want to chip away at whatever conditions we've got. It's just extraordinary. So that battle will continue. It'll continue until long after we're all gone. It is a different place to work, no doubt. I wasn't there in 98, but those that work, continue to speak about it, and it's never forgotten. You don't forget something like that. So it's,
No, and that's why we're often people. I mean, I'm critical of the ALP at times, and so is Dave. But that's why we're always trying to fight to get the Libs out of power, right? Because like I said, mate, this happens continuously. And we'll go into industrial reports in a moment, and where we talk about the small attacks that they're continuously trying to mount on us. And they get the support of governments, like they did have them when they trained the mercenaries in Dubai. So multiple governments were somewhat complicit in this, to be able to replace an entire workforce. And if they've got the support of that, they will have those big cracks, and they will try and get over us. But the one thing, and we say this when we sign up a lot of new members, is that the one thing that's consistent on the waterfront is this union. We've been around for 150 years. Every employer or every site down there, say for Patrick's at the moment, has basically changed their names continuously, and their management changes. But the only thing that remains common is us and the union and the workforce.
The one thing they underestimated was the actual global reach and international solidarity that the MUA had built up over a number of years. They didn't expect things to happen with the Columbus Canada going over, and the ILWU saying, we're not unloading it, send it back. Get it unloaded by union workforce, and the union workforce can load it, send it back then, and we'll unload your ship. They underestimated the global reach and internationalism that, to be fair, rank and filers don't, we hear about it as rank and filers, you hear, but you don't actually see it until it's actually needed. And then I think even in the Cube dispute recently, over here in the West, where they were out for 11 weeks, it was the international solidarity. Things happened with Bill Helmson overseas, where ships weren't unloaded. They said, we're not unloading it. Well, the stench of scab's still on this ship. You recall that saying in the court. They just said, well, the stench of scab is on this ship. We're not unloading it.
It was a safety issue.
And it was actually, since then, we've built up our international connections even more solidly. And it's a strength that companies do underestimate, and until it hits them in between the eyes. So it's a great thing that the MUA have built up over a long period of time.
Yeah, it's amazing that they think that they've got the right to tell people they can't unionise. It's such a weird and unfair idea.
No, it absolutely is. And I'd just like to just bring it back to the community support that was involved in that Patrick's dispute. It was absolutely extraordinary. And, I actually spoke to Dave Cushions last week about this. Dave was working at Patrick's at the time, later became a great official for the MUA. He was saying, the Greek Orthodox Church had a mass down there, the Catholic Church had a mass down there, there was rock concerts, There was private school kids. There was nurses. There was teachers. The CFMEU, of course, played that really important role when they came up behind the line of coppers. And I saw that film Saturday night. Another group that supported the dispute was, of course, Socialist Alliance. And they had a great night last Saturday night in Geelong where they dedicated the night to the 25th anniversary of the Patrick's dispute. And there were some amazing speakers there. And, you know, a couple of people like Ross Smith from the MUA, who was on the picket line that evening. I think the coppers arrived around 4:35 in the morning and they lined up in front of the protesters, and the CFMU arrived about 7:50, I think it was. And you could see the footage is extraordinary. The cops are all looking over their shoulder and panicking that, you know, I think it was 2,000 construction workers came up. And that was a fantastic moment in the actual dispute. But big thank you to all the groups and all the union members and all the community who supported us through that. It's a great thing for the MUA to be, you know, sort of part of that historical dispute. And, you know, we get a lot of recognition for being a strong militant union. And if it wasn't for all that community support and all those other unions, well, I don't know how that dispute would have turned out.
No, you're right. It was because of all that support that we received that we were able to demonstrate not only our industrial strength, but it's hard to flex that when you're out the gate and you've all been thrown out. But that support definitely came back in spades. And Robbie was right, the international support came back in spades as well. So it's good. And it's it's something that we haven't forgotten as a union as well. And we continue to try and support all the groups out there and everybody in all of the working class where we can, both locally and internationally.
Funny, there's a saying someone sent me ages ago. It said, if unions didn't work, billionaires wouldn't spend millions trying to convince you that they're useless.
Yeah. And so I guess we'll just finish up maybe on the Patrick's dispute with this, our most famous catchphrase for the MUA, here to stay, was born out of that dispute, and that's certainly something that's lived on for a long time. We have a special song dedicated to our international solidarity and some of the struggles that the MUA have been involved in over the years, like the pig iron dispute, the Dutch troops going leaving Australia to claim back their former colony in Indonesia, the union's refusal to load Australian warships destined to take part in the American war in Korea, and its latest refusal to load ships during the American war against Vietnam. We're an international union. We love internationalism, and we love being part of it. This song is by Maury Mulheron called Right That Time.
They speak about it proudly. It's now union folklore. Our wharfies wouldn't load any pig iron for war. Japan was a threat, so they walked off the job. They wouldn't help the fascists for old Pig Iron Bob. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all. Indonesia's young and fighting to be free, but the Dutch had different plans for their former colony. The people rose up with freedom on their lips, and the wharfies stopped loading many Dutch-bound ships. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now, but the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. Korea was in trouble, overrun by the Yanks. Wharfies told to load rifles, guns and tanks. But why get involved in this bloody civil war? We're not gonna ship any weapons anymore. They were right that time, they're right again now, but the strength of one isn't much of a power. So united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. pig on Bob's back says we're off to Vietnam. Tugging his forelocks for good old Uncle Sam. The seamen wouldn't work the warship Boonaroo, and the wharfies held the line when they sacked the ship's crew. Well, they were right that time, and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power, so united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. The struggles moved on, mass sackings overnight. The Union survival is the heart of the fight. We'll defy your threats, your thugs and court. We're standing united, no wharfie can be bored. You see, history's on our side, we'll see this battle through. There's too much at stake for the profits of the few. Our fathers before us stood on every picket line. Keep their memories alive and we'll win every time. They've been right every time and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power, so united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. They've been right every time and they're right again now. But the strength of one isn't much of a power, so united they stand against all odds, fighting for us all against the little tin gods. Fighting for us all against the little tin gods.
All right, thank you, members. I hope you enjoyed that song and welcome back. We're about to jump into some industrial updates now. And as we started the show, we've got Casper over in WA talking all things Cube. Mate, how's that going?
Yeah, it's going well, mate. Fantastic to have, you know, all delegates from every side around the country. That's really terrific. Just putting together a strategy and what our claims will be. Everyone's got their claims in. And then once we finalise them, then we'll actually probably start, we'll serve them. We're not serve, but we'll ask Cube to start bargaining. Because as you know, the laws have changed. We're going to track all bargaining. There was 9 months after expiry of an agreement. So we need to get going on that. And see where it takes us. But it's going to be a very hostile, we anticipate it to be a hostile campaign. There are hostile management who have a history of being hostile towards us. And so we need to, we're up for that fight. I can assure you that our members will be taken along for the ride and informed all the way through about how each meeting goes. But we'll start that with writing to the company very shortly, I would hope, and trying to initiate bargaining as soon as possible.
What are the key issues?
A lot of it's around, it is around allocation and fatigue management. So what they've done, and members, is that, so when the salaries were all, when they were all worked out 20 years ago, they were worked out on the predication of, you know, day, evening and twilight. And that's what your salary was made up of. Well, now we find these Balkan General stevedores and Cube are bastardising it, because what, there's no night shift. They'll call a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. That's an afternoon shift. So the salaries weren't based upon that. So now we're looking at the data now, and the amount of 12-hour, 11, 10-hour shifts that the Balkan General wharfies are doing, it's extraordinary. So that's actually, you know, so that's just dead set bastardizing it. And so we're having a really good look at that. There's some other things there. You know, Lynx is the other major Balkan General operator in the country. And we're looking at their conditions and trying to make sure Cube are up around theirs to make it more competitive. The funny thing is we've got up to 15 and 16% around the country, depending on where you work, differences in salaries. So you could be a wharfie doing the same job I'll just use Victoria as an example. The salary of the grade six FSC in Melbourne is far superior to the grade six FSC in Portland, doing the same job. I mean, that's the same all through the VSC stuff and the GWs all the way down to the supplementary hourly rate. So we're looking to try and fix it. I think this is the time we have to try and fix it now. You don't try and fix this. We'll just do a little bit now and a little bit later. We have to try and equalise things and get things back on an equal footing now. And this is the campaign that it's going to be. So, as I said, I have no doubt it'll be a hostile campaign, but we've certainly got our members and our delegates all coming along for the ride, and we're all scratching the same itch, basically. So,
well, it's going to be hostile because everything they're doing is dishonest. So,
it's going to be a big campaign for our union. It's a big, and it's a big campaign for the industry, isn't it? So, the bulk and general industry as a whole, this Cube will be a big campaign because it's in what 20 something ports around the country. So they're a major operator, and that has an impact on our members at places like Lynx and also like ANS. And didn't Bally Hedger go with ANS, mate? They had the guys in the office earlier this week.
Yeah, we had the ANS workforce in the MUA rooms last week, and I can happy to report that they voted up their EA unanimously. It was a great result for those guys. They've struggled over the years, but we got quite a few permanent jobs, which for us, job security is one of the number one priorities. So very happy with that outcome. And we've also managed to get some HSRs elected and an OHS committee together. So great outcome for the ANS members. I look forward to working with them over the next 2 months. We'll see what happens.
2 months.
But yeah, fantastic.
But that was a good outcome, Dave, because that workforce, as you know, traditionally, it's been a very difficult company to deal with, very difficult to get labour reviews, very difficult to get any upgrades. This has been an absolutely fantastic outcome for that membership there. That's a major step forward.
Absolutely. And Aaron, well, you've been well doing done, some... Thanks, mate. You helped, mate. So it was a team effort. So
like everything we do, work collectively. While we're talking about EAs, but another major one has kicked off with DP World. So their EAs are underway as well. So it's just the initial meetings for both Part A and Part B have been held. They pretty straightforward, just understanding each other's claims. There's a bunch of claims coming out of DP World that are pretty obnoxious, and it's almost like we've seen them before, because the first thing they've wanted to come do is attack the rosters. That's what they did at Patrick's. They want to attack a spate of conditions down there, which will take money out of the pockets of the VSEs and create longer working hours and less family-friendly rosters for the FSEs down there as well. So they're underway. There's more meetings, I think, scheduled for June to continue the Part A ones. And then, but just like Cube, we're expecting that this... they'll try and run it to the line, DP World. They've been poking our guys down here in Victoria for a while, and they've been attacking everything from their brake times to their safety conditions. And that's resulted in a great campaign by the HSRs on site to try and restore some of those conditions. And it's also seen Bally and myself doing vessel inspections. So we've been doing them around the port. We've done a couple at DP World. We've done, I think we're there Sunday night. We're there because the ship came in from Sydney and we were expecting a shitload of issues with it that were reported in Sydney. Fortunately, when we got there, well, after a bit of a little spat with the managers, they didn't really want to let us on board. Last time Bally and I were on there, it took us a few hours to get through the old vessel because it was a bit of a shit show. So they didn't want to let us on board this time around. But, finally got up there, and fortunately the ship had been repaired for the most part. I think we found one dodgy walkway and a couple of hatches that needed some repairing, and mostly repairs that could be done on the spot as well. So the ship's crew ran around sorting those out before our guys went to work. But they unfortunately are not the only vessel inspections we've done recently, and
deliberately.
Quite sadly, we also had a bunch of vessel inspections early this week where we were down at web doc at VRCT where we had a foreman fall a few metres and injure himself. So he's had a bit of surgery and stuff. Fortunately, he's quite banged up, but it's not the worst outcome that we could have had in an incident like that when you see a man fall three or four metres onto a steel deck. Came out with a broken arm and some bruises and stuff like that, but he's had to have some surgery and stuff. So we wish him a speedy recovery and all the best. And the union's obviously here to help him and to also support the workers that grabbed him. So a bit of they should be commended, the HSRs and the charge foreman down at WebDoc, because they responded quickly, professionally, and got him off and into an ambulance pretty quickly. So the response time was good, but the incident was tragic and fortunately not a fatality, but still as close as we want to ever come to one of those for sure. So working now with the company to try and figure out what happened and how we can prevent it in the future.
Now, that membership did a great job down there looking after their comrades. So, well done to all that team.
So, a healthy reminder again to everyone, if you see someone doing the wrong thing, pull them up. You know, just we need to make sure we're looking after each other on the job, not just waiting for an accident to happen or whatever. But we're diligent on the job, no matter what it is, where we are. We had a couple of rope failures at Cube, as you know, on cranes. And so we've got to make sure that all these exclusion zones and everything we do, wearing your hard hat, all this sort of stuff is done for a reason. And they're done because of to prevent anything happening. So please make sure, members, if you see someone, make sure we're looking after each other. We've got to look out for each other. So,
just really quickly, I think it's worth reporting about the Fugo Mariner.
Yeah, so the first vessel with MUA Labor to be out there working in offshore wind was out there drilling and doing geological sampling. It's out there still down in South Gippsland. So those members on board, congratulations for being first in the beginning of what will be a great new unionised industry for maritime workers.
Really exciting, and obviously addressing some of the needs around climate change. So that's fantastic. Now, there's been some technical problems with the voting process for the union?
Yeah, so that's a quick reminder for everybody as well. It's time to vote in the union elections. There was a misspelling on one of the ballots, which has caused for a second ballot to be posted out. Now, the second ballot will only be for the assistant branch and assistant national secretary positions. The first ballot is the one for the remainder of the position. So the recommendation is that everybody fills out the first ballot, posts that back, and then everybody fills out the second ballot and posts that back. So just fill both ballots out, put them back into the envelope, sign the back of it, put in the reply paid one, shoot it off. Do the same for the next package that you receive, and that should be received this week. If you haven't received any ballots, please give the branch a call and we'll be able to work that out for you. So union elections are on. 150 years of electing our own leadership. Make sure you vote. Make sure your vote counts and make sure you vote in both of those ballots.
Thank you, members. Maybe Casper, being a hard rock fan, you could introduce our final song.
Oh, it's a great song. Bit of Alice Cooper. I saw him about. I saw the Welcome to My Nightmare concert at Festival Hall many moons ago, Dave. But the song's called Elected, and it's very apt given that we are in election mode. Elected by Alice Cooper. Have a great day, members.
Thanks
everyone.
Members. Cheers. Thanks, Annie.
Rolls Royce. I wanna be elected. Kids wanna save you and don't need- about school. I want to be elected, elected, elected. Hallelujah. I want to be selected. What are people in the United States of America?
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.